Guardians of the Geekery, episode 266. This is the last of our Con Carolinas 2019 podcast recorded at the convention, but my favorite episode. Great questions by Carol the Cat and Giddy Geeker to Dacre Stoker. Yes, he is related. Listen to the episode to find out how he's related to Bram Stoker, the author of Dracula. Really interesting conversation, and there's so much more to learn about. Learn about Bram and the Stoker legacy. Great family, very interesting stories. And did you know that there were other books that Bram Stoker wrote? Okay. Take a listen. Tell us what you think of the episode. And don't forget to subscribe to us on Patreon. We love Patreon. We love your patronage. Thank you so much.
Podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ. There are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
So it's the Guardians of the Geekery here live at Con Carolinas, and we have the privilege of being with Mr. Stoker. Not Bram, but somebody who does a lot of research about Bram. So could you introduce yourself to our audience?
Absolutely, and thank you for having me. My name is Dacre Stoker. I'm the great-grandnephew of Bram Stoker. That means that Bram's youngest brother is my great-grandfather.
Oh, that's okay. So cool.
It is. It is. It's cool lineage.
And how did you... Was that something that was just always a known thing for you, or...?
Well, as a young boy... We did have some first editions on the bookshelf, but it wasn't until about the age of 12 that I finally got the courage up to ask my dad, you know, like, what is all this stuff about? And it usually came around because at Halloween, a lot of people would rib me and go, ooh, what's going to happen at the Stoker household? Is it going to be blood or candy? What's going on? I say, Dad, come on, spill the beans. What's going on? So then he told me. And I got to college later on, and of course, I sort of began to understand the significance of what Bram Stoker did around the world. Yeah. Generally, the scholarly world knew about Bram Stoker before pop culture really did. They knew about Dracula, but they didn't really know about Bram Stoker. Yeah. Right. And it was two Boston College professors, McNally and Florescu, that wrote a book In Search of Dracula that I did read in college. And they're like, I now get it. You know, I understand the research Bram did. So that was my first foray in college into understanding the heritage of the family and the impact he had on popular culture.
And it inspired you to do your own research and actually write your own books.
Yeah, that actually was – there was a big gap because it wasn't until 2003 that Ian Holt contacted me, who was a screenwriter, and said, I've got an idea. I got a screenplay that's never gone anywhere. How about having a Stoker involved in turning this into a book? And essentially, it was the concept of a sympathetic Dracula, much like the 92 Coppola movie. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of turn that into a Dracula sequel. But I need to know some interesting things about your family. And so I said, the only way I'm going to do this is if I'm an active writer in this, and I want Bram Stoker in the story. Because it was a cool idea, I thought, to have Bram as a character, because part of my goal is to highlight Bram's contribution to the world, not just this mystery guy that came up with a cool story. Who was he? What was he all about? And that's my major motivation.
And so that resulted in three books that you have. You had Dracula the Undead, Bram Stoker's Lost Journal, and then, of course, Dracul, your third one, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, it was a cool sequence because writing Dracula the Undead with Ian helped me find lots of cool documents in the Rosenbach Museum, the Dracula notes. And funnily enough, I found the Lost Journal in one of Bram's great-grandson's attic in England.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
I mean, that was like finding gold.
Bram.
Because nobody had found anything that was really first-hand source material all about Bram. And this was a journal he kept as a young man when he was in Dublin. Oh. So this was really cool stuff. And being the teacher and the coach that I am, it helped me get inside his head. What was this guy really like? And now I've got his journal of thoughts, observations, things that he used and used for writing later on. And that also obviously helped me when J.D. Barker and I decided, let's get this story back to the origin. Let's figure out why Bram Stoker wrote Dracula. And that put me on a journey around the world, no less, to find more seminal documents. We went to Seattle to find the actual manuscript of Dracula that has lots of different alterations in the margins. The London Library, where they actually have the resource books that Bram used to write Dracula with notes in the margins. So lots of really cool sort of rabbit hole type stuff.
What's one of the most unexpected things that you found when you were doing some of your research, or something that you were just like, huh, I would have never guessed that?
Well, I mean, one of the things that I would have never guessed, that Bram was kind of a jovial, fun guy. You know, you think...
I wouldn't think that, actually.
No.
You picture him as a goth or something. Yeah, yeah.
No, exactly. That's what I'm trying to change is the one book. I mean, he wrote lots of books, 12 books and lots of short stories. He wasn't this, you know, affected, you know, horrified guy that walked around like looking at the dark side. This was his creativity coming out. But there was humor. I found that a guy in Scotland is doing a lot of research about where Bram spent 13 summers. And he's a fun guy. Lots of jokes that he told people in the newspaper and so on. So it was rounding out my great-granduncle that was probably the most unexpected thing. That what was he really like as a person? It wasn't just the cloud over his head and, you know, the crucifix in the hand the whole time.
Vincent Price narrating his life, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mean you don't have, like, black lace Victorian curtains all over your house, no, and velvet robes and all that
the
stuff?
The Addams Family, the Munsters, yeah. Rolled into the Stoker household. Not really.
And now, what do you drive, by the way?
Now at Halloween we do, though. Come on, we let loose at Halloween a little bit. Yeah.
You and Tori should have been together. Yeah, that was Tori Valenti was just telling us that was his inspiration for getting started with MythBusters, as all of his... Halloween decorations, because his birthday was October 30th.
Oh, so. Boy. How perfect is that?
I know.
Yeah, for sure.
So then, have you learned a lot about your family other than Bram, just doing all this research?
So glad you asked that, because this is the essence of Dracul, is I needed to find the whole family.
Yeah.
And he was one of seven kids. And so one of his oldest brothers is really interesting. He was a doctor at the time when, you know, doctoring was pretty primitive.
Yeah.
But he was the head of the Royal College of Surgeons of Ireland. And that means he was involved in grave robbing and let's just call it early anatomy lessons, that sort of thing. but he actually helped Bram do all the medical references in Dracula. So the blood transfusions, when they were just starting them, no blood typing. He helped Bram figure out, and I saw his notes in the margins of how to do the brain surgery on Renfield in chapter 21. So there was a lot of cool medical stuff. Two other brothers were medical doctors. Uncle George, my grandfather George, was one who invented ozone therapy. So this was a really, you know, talented family that made an impact in many, many ways, in addition to Uncle Bram.
That's awesome. So you just like explored your entire family tree. That's actually, you didn't even have to go to Ancestry.com.
I know, it's like, that would be a great sponsor. Ancestry.com should sponsor
you.
We
have used them. I mean, it's been helpful because, you know, sometimes if you don't know, you go to Ancestry.com and people have to accept you, make sure you're a bona fide member of Stoker before they divulge what they found. Ah. And that really did help, because once we found we were legit, they were legit, boom, the tree got bigger and bigger. Mm. And that has been very, very helpful. And then Ireland has a similar kind of site, findmyirishpast.ie, and that has helped as well. So it's been a wonderful sort of journey to find the family tree. But what's even better is the cool stories that goes along with it.
Yeah.
And then as a historical based sort of fiction writer, that's been fun to sort of take the real stuff and twist it and turn it into stories that people then believe are real.
So what is the next generation down from you, like your kids or your family's kids, think of all of this stuff? I mean, as it gets farther down the chain, I mean, but it's been brought back to light, where like there was a time in there where maybe it wasn't around as much. So
yeah, that's one of the motivations that my wife, who is Southern and, you know, really into genealogy, she said, look, Dacre, if we don't pick up the mantle now, our son and daughter will never know. Because the great-grandsons that I mentioned earlier, they're pretty into it, but not really, because it's horror, so it's not really the most important thing in their life. And we felt it needed to be. So at the beginning, when the first book came out, Dracula the Undead, my kids were teenagers. They're like, oh, God, Dad, you know. You know, don't go and embarrass us. But when it became a bestseller, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And one of them gets to, my daughter came on some of the book tours in Europe. Oh, this is quite cool. And now my son, who has just finished his master's in English, actually is my number one editor. And he's getting involved. We're actually working on a book together, a nonfiction, but the journey of finding out all about Bram and Parker has come on some of these journeys with me.
It's the Stoker legacy all over again, right?
I mean, that, and it's you know, when you look at that, it's like it's important to do that in the family, because I don't want to leave this earth and have not let my kids know and cousins' kids know what our great-granduncle Bram did. And not just the stuff that's in the biographies, because it's not always right, but the real stuff. And that's important for me to pass on.
Yeah, it's interesting because my mom is in her 70s now, and she's been coming and staying with us off and on for a little while. And she recently, her sister and her brother got in a fight about ancestry. And so now they're all doing the 23andMe DNA that's connected to Ancestry.com, who is not a sponsor, but we'll be happy to let you be a sponsor for either of us. But yeah, so I was like, okay, but my mom's like in her 70s and computers are not her first forte. So I'm having to register online and stuff. I'm like, okay, now spit in the cup. I'm like, spit more. That's not enough. She's like, this is not polite. Women's bonds are supposed to spit, but that's another thing. That's a Southern thing too. It's like, yep. We went out on a spit. But that's part of it, is like, you know, here you've got Bram Stoker, which you would think, okay, we should have everything of his, but that's just, it's universal. I mean, the more we go digital, the easier it will be for somebody to just delete it.
That's the key, is a digitization in libraries, in museum collections, newspapers. That has been probably the biggest help. Because you can go find censuses from different parts of the world, ship's logs. I believe there are still plenty of things to find out about Uncle Bram once boxes are brought up from the, you know, the basements in different places, and then some intern goes through and digitizes them, and then we can start searching. I mean, it is there are some wonderful things about all this. Although nothing's better than getting on an airplane and going to Ireland around.
There is a mystique of flying over there and looking through the dusty boxes rather than just sitting behind your keyboard and going, where is this now?
And also getting that whole feel of, you know, where you were when it happened.
That's right.
And all that stuff.
There's a library in Dublin called Marsh's Library that goes back to books back to the 1500s. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I was in there in June when we went over, and they actually found that they had a record of Bram going in 1866 while he was a student, looking up religious conflict. It was obviously a paper or something he was doing while at Trinity College. In one of the books, when you flip through it, there was a reference to Wallachia, which was at the time Transylvania, and the name Dracula popped up. Oh, wow. So this even predates any of the biographies that place Bram in the London Library and the Whitby Library opening up books about Dracula while he was still a student. So it's amazing what are in these books and libraries, and all it takes is, you know, somebody who's interested to dig a little deeper than normal to find it, and a lot of times it's there.
Yeah, it's all about passion, right?
Yeah. So. Yep.
So besides Dracula, what would you recommend somebody read by Bram Stoker? Everyone knows Dracula, but I don't think people realize he wrote other books.
No, good point. One of the cool mysteries that I try to recommend people to look into is a short story called Dracula's Guest, which actually was part of Dracula before it was edited out. So I hope your listeners will pick up on this, because you can get it free, you know, on Project Gutenberg. But the Dracula manuscript starts at page 102. This is one thing J.D. Barker and I found when we were doing our research. And I have proven, by looking through the manuscript and finding things that were crossed out, were references to this 17-page short story that was published by Bram's widow in 1914, along with a couple other short stories that I would recommend, Dracula's Guest. And it's the story of somebody, it's obviously Jonathan Harker, en route to Transylvania, but he stops in Munich for the night. And lots of weird shenanigans happen, which I won't spoil. That's one. The other one I'd highly recommend is look up the short story, The Squaw. And I believe it's very autobiographical. One of the only ones that I think is really Bram and Florence on their honeymoon in Nuremberg. I know they went to Nuremberg with Irving and the company to research castles when they were putting on certain plays. And this story is just like them there. So that's another one. The Lair of the White Worm is one of the other stories he wrote that was turned into a movie.
Yeah.
It was one of the latest ones he wrote, so it was kind of disjointed, not really great, but it was good enough to be turned into a movie by Ken Russell. And then the other one I think was one of his better works is The Mystery of the Sea. He wrote it while he was in Cruden Bay, Scotland, and it's similar to Dracula in many ways because it was based on real folklore. It was actually based on the Spanish Armada when they tried to conquer England, and the ships were hurricane pushed them off to the Scotland area, and one of them actually wrecked, and gold wrecked, and people found the gold, and Bram took this local lore and turned it into a mystery. The Mystery of the Sea, I think, is probably one of the other good ones to read.
That's awesome. So we're running short on time here. So can we find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, I've got a website, dacrestoker.com. Lots of information there about me and my writing. Also the tours I lead to Transylvania to show people some of the cool spots, as well as tours that I'm starting to run to Ireland to show the places where Bram lived and worked and played and researched, as well as where JD and I set the book Dracul. So Facebook page as well. I do more Facebook than Twitter just because I'm more comfortable with that, but certainly welcome people to find me there.
And it's Dacre, D-A-C-R-E. It's like an acre with a D in the D. Front.
Yes.
And is that a family name?
It is a family name. It was Bram's father had a son that he called Dacre, and my parents actually met him on their honeymoon. He was an interesting decorated World War I submariner. You can believe it.
Well, you have an awesome family.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I know you have to go get ready for your next panel, but we appreciate you being here. And thank you so much.
Thanks
it's been a joy.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.